Y'all better not come to my studio with that fake shit. Y'all better not come to my funeral with that fake shit. Y'all better off realizing there's nothing that y'all could do with me. All I ever ask is keep it 8 more than 92 with me. 100.
What up, though? It's Friday, Freaky Friday, January 27th, 2017. I'm going to apologize early to you guys because my gardener is outside. I don't normally record on Fridays, but I wanted to get another episode out to you guys before the Super Bowl. So I decided to book someone today, not knowing that it's gardening day, it's lawn day, and then it's like 3:30 in the afternoon. So Aiden's going to be barreling in here in a few minutes, probably interrupting. So y'all know I record at home, so don't even trip, but it's going to be a good show, though. I hope you guys had a productive week. I got a lot of stuff done around the house, trying to, you know, get reacclimated into the South Florida home where we live, but still trying to, like, enjoy the off season. So I'm halfway cleaning up, halfway turning up, which is kind of cool, you know. Hubby didn't make the Pro Bowl this year. He was an alternate, first alternate, but everybody decided to go, so he didn't get to go. So I'm not really upset about it, to be honest with you. I mean, I wanted him to go because it would have been his third Pro Bowl team, which would have been, you know, something for him, you know, good accomplishment for him, making the Pro Bowl for three different organizations in his 30s. I thought it would be dope, but you know what? Things don't always work out the way they do. And, you know, he had a lot of issues in the last 2 weeks with his allergies and stuff. I don't know if you guys know, but Brent has about 7 or 8 food allergies ever since he's transformed into, you know, trying to do the vegan diet thing. He's just had these crazy allergies just come out of nowhere, and they're food allergies. And you don't always know you're allergic to something until you eat it. So he's been to the hospital once in the past 2 weeks. He's doing quite well. His spirits are up. You know, he's got to go do a whole bunch of shots, a whole bunch of tests, and all kind of stuff. But, you know, he's doing great. So I'm kind of glad that he didn't have to focus on anything football related while he's trying to recover from his most recent allergy attack. Aiden's back at his old school where he was going before he went to Tampa. So he's all excited. Today they had a day off randomly, just day off for the kids. And they took them to like Sky Zone or some place. I don't know, one of those places where you shoot lasers, jump on trampolines, and play Mario Kart. I don't know. He went to one of those places today, so I know he's going to be all excited. And I'm just happy to be here, man. I'm just happy that my podcast is doing well. I'm happy that you guys are entertained by me. I'm happy that the football season is over, so I get to chill and go to LA. I want to go to Mexico. I want to go to Europe. There's so many places, so many things that I want to do. So I'm planning to do all those things while still giving you a podcast every week. So don't trip. I'm here for the long run, just so you guys know. But today we're going to have a really good show. I have a very, very old friend of mine coming on the show. Old as in not like old person, but we've been friends. I think I met him when his rookie year, which was 2004, I believe. His rookie year, we met through some mutual friends. I'll explain all of it when I get him on. But my guest is Steven Jackson, running back. I think he was out this year, but I don't know if he's retired or what he's doing with his life. But we're going to ask him all about that. We'll talk to him about, you know, his career, you know, from high school through the pros, you know, the teams. He played for the Falcons. He played for the Patriots, too. So I want to definitely get his Super Bowl prediction for that, and just have some fun talking to him, you know, and just see what he's up to this last year since he hasn't been playing. So I think it'll be a good episode. He was an incredible running back. If you don't know who he is, this is going to be a great episode for you to really get to know who Steven Jackson is. So let me get him on the phone.
Yo,
Jack,
what's good?
What's good with you? How are you?
I'm doing good. Yourself?
I'm doing pretty good. I just got out of a boxing class. You know, I got to get this aggression out. You know, I'm an alpha female.
So yeah, I think we all know that.
We know that. Yeah, I'm an alpha female. So Brent has recommended boxing for me this off season. So I'm taking boxing every Friday. So it's going really good. I feel good after I punch on something for a good hour. I don't know about you, but it feels real.
That's some good ass stamina.
Yeah. I got stamina now. That's one thing I got is stamina, but I don't be having patience all the time. That's the one thing I need to work on because I can go forever. But, you know, I need to work on the patience and the walk away. The walk away is right. The other one I need to work on. Yeah. But what are you doing today? It's Friday. I'm in South Florida. You told me you were in St. Louis. I want to apologize. I don't even know why. Why are you there? Why?
My son Skylar still lives there.
Oh, what a baby.
Yeah, he's 10 years old now.
I met Skylar when he was a tiny, tiny baby.
He
a man now.
Yeah, so I still come here and do my fatherly duties. So I'm here once a month.
Oh, look at you. Who said black men don't look after their kids? Look at you. Flourishing. That's cool. You know, my family... You know, I'm from St. Louis or whatever. My dad has been living here in South Florida with us since the summer. And so he just went back to St. Louis the other day to go visit family and stuff. So I was like, why would you do that? And he was just like, well, I got to go. I got to handle some family stuff. And I'm just like, okay.
Yeah, I remember. I don't know if it was you or your family. Somebody, though, lived over there by the airport. Was it you or did the family?
My auntie.
Yep,
my aunt lived by the airport. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Damn, we go way back, Jack.
Yeah.
Do people still call you Jack?
Yeah, everybody in football.
Oh, look at me. I'm like one of the guys. So, number 39. Tell my listeners, because, you know, let me just say this to you. My listeners are like a very, very, very serious group of people that don't always know a lot about football, but they really enjoy me. So I try to educate them at the same time anytime I have somebody on and have fun. Be yourself. You can cuss. You're not going to get in trouble. You know, just don't mess up any checks that you got coming in. That's what I tell people all the time. But my followers might not know who you are. So you have to give them who you are. We're going to go through all the other stuff, but tell them the significance of why you wear number 39.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, first and foremost, I guess, introduce myself. Steven Jackson, 12-year all-pro running back. Started with the St. Louis Rams, and I got the chance to meet you many moons ago. I was there for 9 years. Then I went to Atlanta Falcons for 2. Then I wrapped up the career last year in New England. And, you know, it's been a great journey. But that journey did start with me choosing my jersey number. And I picked number 39 because of the 39 books in the Old Testament, in the Bible. Mm. I think, you know, humbly and always trying to remember and remind myself that, you know, try to be a godly man and present myself in that manner all the time.
Hmm. Oh, biblical man, huh? Prayer. We all need prayer, you know, sometimes.
It's been a couple of times profanity came out on the football field, but the one thing about it, God forgives.
Wait a minute. So you ask for forgiveness for cussing?
Nah, not really. I'm just saying the act of it. You know what I'm saying?
I need to beg. I need to pray. I need to get doused in some type of water. Because this mouth is filthy. Boy, it's filthy. But yeah, thank you for introducing yourself. I know you. But before I interview anyone, I like to look up a bunch of stuff about them. And I can't believe how much stuff I learned about you. Like, I just was like, oh, my God, I didn't know you were born in Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't even know people were actually born in Vegas. I thought everybody there just went there to either work or fun.
Yeah. You know, my people, man, my mom and dad's from Arkansas. So after my pops got out of the Vietnam War, you know, they took it west and they ended up in Vegas and raised me and my sisters. And I tell you what, man, I got a lot of hate mail for a second when I didn't choose to go to UNLV out of college.
Was that a big it wasn't a rivalry or anything like that. Was it just because you were from Las Vegas?
Yeah, you know, I started making waves, man. I was one of the first guys to get a real major D1 scholarship in the early 2000s.
You were the ambassador for all the NFL players that coming out of Vegas. You were like the man. You was like the kickoff of that.
Right. So it's real surreal, man. It's cool to see like guys like DeMarco Murray, all these kids that I knew when they were children, mm-hmm. do their own thing and they have their own careers. But you know, it all started in Vegas, and I guess I was one of the first ones to kick that door down.
So why did you choose Oregon State? Like, was there a reason behind it, or you just went with what you thought was best as far as like just hooping, like balling out?
Well, you know, funny enough, people thought the talent in Las Vegas wasn't good. So they didn't really know, you know, they saw my numbers and looked like game numbers, you know, PlayStation numbers. And they didn't quite understand or know what was the talent level that I was going up against.
Okay. So they tried to play you.
Yeah, they tried to play me, right, exactly. So, like, you know, the Nebraskas of the world, the Tennessees of the world, they were willing to give me a scholarship, but they wanted me to play defense. And, you know, that was something that
What position?
Linebacker.
Oh, you know why? Because you look like the Incredible Hulk. That's why.
I mean, I get it now. I get it now. But I was that kid that had that late growth spurt, man. I was 16 years old before I had my growth spurt. So because I was the smallest guy on the team for so many years, I naturally just threw me at running back. And then, you know, I came back from,
It makes sense now.
Yep.
6,396 yards in high school, 81 touchdowns. Nobody got pregnant? Damn. Those numbers do look kind of like PlayStation-ish. I ain't going to lie. That is pretty crazy. But you were little. That's why they put you at running back. The same thing they did to Brent. He was running back, too. And through high school and did crazy numbers too, but obviously he didn't morph into Incredible Hulk, but you did.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Monstar style. So yeah, man. So the basketball and the track and all that, I was so short, man, I gave up on it. And then, you know, lo and behold, when I gave up on basketball, I get my growth spurt. But you know, one thing about me, man, I'm very streamlined about my thinking. I was like, well, I'm gonna commit to this football thing, I'm gonna do it right. And that's what I ended up doing.
Wow. Are you happy with that decision after all these years?
I am. I mean, it's taken me around the world. I've met a lot of people and, you know, I'm an alpha male. You know, we talked about it earlier, you know, and, you know, you got to get that aggression out. You got to be able to put all that into something and channel in it. And I think, you know, as a young man, as you learning yourself, especially in the black community, because we don't talk enough about what we're feeling. It gave me an outlet for so long. And, you know, I do it now with my children. You know, I talk to them more openly because, you know, they're not football players, to be honest with you. So, you know, I got a baseball player, I have an artist, and then I have a newborn baby girl. So,
Now, I didn't know about this baby girl. We ain't been keeping up. I know about the two boys.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. We got
a New England baby.
you got a New England baby. So you ain't getting no Atlanta baby. That's shady. No, it's funny.
Nah, you know what? I love
you.
Atlanta,
don't need no. You didn't need no damn Atlanta baby. You didn't. You didn't.
Nah,
need,
I did it. No, I did it. I loved Atlanta, but no, nah, I was out there for. I was strictly trying to chase the Super Bowl ring.
And look at them getting there now. Look how they did us.
Right, both my old teams. I ain't get no invite.
Man, rude as hell. But what was the real reason behind choosing Oregon?
The crazy thing about Oregon State was we were kind of like the stepchild in the state. We had so many riders. See, like the Oregon Ducks wasn't the Oregon Ducks then in the early 2000s.
No.
You know, they're respectable, but they didn't take off.
Like they did recently. Like
they yeah. So they recruited a certain type of player and we recruited a different. And, you know, it just so happened that, you know, the guys that I listed, we all came from the same mindset. And then we was going there. I was getting a good education, you know, I was going there for architecture, but at the same time, I always talk to kids, man, you got to talk to them in their lingo, and I was talking to them that football was my hustle, you know, and I knew I could go back to school, but within that small time, that window of 3 years, you know, I hustled up out of there. I was going to change the trajectory of my family. So the head coach at the time was Dennis Erickson, and he coached the Miami Hurricanes back in the early 90s. And, you know, he came through, you know, he wasn't afraid of coming in the neighborhood. He wasn't afraid to recruit, you know, the type of players that he put together in Miami and did it in Oregon.
Okay.
And when I got there, man, I'm talking about Chad Johnson, now Ocho, but, you know, you had TJ Houshmandzadeh. You had me and Derek Anderson, the backs of Cam Newton. You know, we all came in and I was like, man, he's doing something special up here. And it's close to the crib and it was in the Pac-10 at the time. And I didn't want to play in the Mountain West, so that's why I didn't go to UNLV. I just did not want to be. I wanted to be in a major conference because I know what happened to me in high school. People questioned my numbers, so I wasn't going to let them question my numbers and do it again in college.
That is awesome because, you know, people don't really always understand that. People think that the other way. They're like, no, you go to college to get a degree, and the sport part is afterwards. But what people don't always understand is, and they don't think about it, is college is never closed. Like, there's never no window where you can't go to college. There's no age. There's no, you know, athleticism. Like, there's no talent. You know what I mean? So what just said was really smart. Some people don't always use college. You can always go back, or you can finish when you're there. But it's okay if you don't. It's okay if you have a different agenda, if you have a different mindset in what you're trying to do with your family.
Yeah. So it's funny. Yeah. Because I'm finishing now. You know, I'm like, what to do with
good
my
for
time.
You.
So I'm finished. Yeah, I appreciate it. I'm finishing my last year. But to your point, you know, one, I mean, education system is a hustle in itself. You know, we don't want to talk about that. And it was something that I wanted to make a promise to myself and my mom, because I needed to set a good example. Me and my sisters, none of us have a degree. So at some point, the cycle has to stop. Mm-hmm. So I want to make sure that the cycle stops with me. And not only monetarily wise, but the way we all value ourselves as men and women in our family. You know, there's no need to feel like, woe is me anymore. So, you know, I'm doing that to set the example for my family. But at the same time, school ain't going nowhere. You're right. You can do it online like I'm doing it. You can go to community college. Because at the end of the day, people just want to see that you committed to something.
Right.
And once you show people that you got the commitment, you're going to have to learn on the job anyway, whatever tool it is. And then if you're a business owner, you're still going to have to take the bumps and the bruises that come with being a business owner. So, you know, school can't teach you nothing. Man. It just makes you focus.
Boy, you are preaching some of the same shit I used to tell to people all the time when they say things like, oh, the reason that that players should go to college instead of going to the pros is because they don't know how to handle that much money. Where in college do they teach you how to handle $1 million? They don't teach you how to write a check. They don't even teach you how to balance a checkbook. They don't teach you budget. They don't teach you anything unless you're like some type of math or finance major. You're not learning any skills required to handle millions of dollars in fame and success. You're not. That's not even happening in college. And this is an excuse, if you ask me.
You're not learning it, and nor can they relate to it. So, you know, how can you tell the kid that? I mean, ask Willis McGahee. Willis McGahee was one of the reasons that I was like, yo, if I get a chance, I get a first round grade, I'm leaving.
Out, you know, because he got hurt.
I'm out of there. You know, I blow my knee out, I'm not gonna make that money back. You know, they're not teaching you how to manage that money. They're not teaching you how to handle that fame and, you know, what not to say on the press. And these kids now, they got social media, so, and everybody documenting everything.
Yes.
So, I mean, you gotta be real careful. So you can't let this lightning in a bottle moment pass you up because they say you need to get education. You can always go back.
Man, you are preaching. You sound so okay. So every time I've been to Vegas, I was raised in LA, and I went to Vegas 6, 7, 8 times a year. It was like a party. Like, we went so much growing up as kids and even as adults. How did you stay focused in a city that the Sin City? How did you stay focused, and how did you not get caught up in the lifestyle, or did you?
I mean, I did for a little bit. Okay. I did, but, you know,
keeping it real.
The thing about it was, you know, I was somebody that was like real channel. Like, I needed to always press myself and challenge myself. So I would drink 6 months and stop. But in that 6 months of drinking, I had to dial back sometimes. Sometimes I was like, yo, you're going too much. You're doing too much. And, you know, it's probably, man, just honestly, those mom and dad and those grandparents praying over me, making sure I ain't really do nothing too bad, you know, to hurt my reputation and my money. But, you know, I went through it. You know, we lived through it, and then you get over it. That's a phase that everybody goes through.
So you were in Southern Nevada Sports Hall of Fame. You're in the Hall of Fame. You went to Oregon State, and then you get drafted 24th overall by the Rams. The draft class you came out of was kind of sick. Like, do you recall all the players that came out that year?
Yeah, I do. We had Eli. We had Robert Gallery. We had Larry Fitzgerald.
Phillip Rivers. Sean Taylor.
Phillip Rivers.
D'Angelo Hall. Ben Roethlisberger. Vilma.
Yeah.
And you were the first running back, the very first running back to come out of that class. What did that feel like? Finally, after all these things you had been through, you know, coming out of Las Vegas, nobody respecting you, going to Oregon State, and you get drafted first running back in the class. How'd it feel?
I was still pissed. I wanted to be top 10.
I knew it. My next question was, were you happy about your draft selection?
Hell no. I wasn't happy. I was so mad. I was pissed. When Marshall was still rolling, I was like, why they draft me? You know?
Oh, my God. Because you felt away, like, nah, they not going to play me. This nigga still hooping. Like, what? Why? I don't want to go there. Send me somewhere there's no running back. That's what you were thinking of.
Yeah, so I was pissed. I wanted to be top 10. And then went back to that whole being from Vegas, then going to Oregon State, playing on the West Coast. People ain't really see my games. It was just more of disrespect in my eye. I was just like, dang, I'll never get the respect that I'm due.
So some of the people was talking about your knee injury and all this stuff, and they were saying that's why you dropped. But you don't think it was a little bit of that, too, or you think it was just that whole West Coast thing?
Yeah, I think it was a little bit of that, but it was only a meniscus tear. You know, it wasn't an ACL or anything. And I think everybody tried to get a good thing for cheap. And, you know, and that's what happened to me. You know, it's just unfortunate that it happened to me. But everything happens for a reason, because I came here with the Rams and I played under some great players and I learned work ethic.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, I don't know if I go to, you know, a lower tier team that didn't have that good example. You know, like that year, the Detroit Lions were picking 6 and they needed a running back. And, you know, but they didn't have nobody setting that good example, I don't think, from what I know. And I, who knows, you know, if I go there 6 overall, I get that paycheck. But
you don't learn nothing. You don't get
the long career.
Do you have 8 years in a row, 1,000 rushing yards? Sick.
Right.
So you came in under Falk. Falk is who introduced us to each other.
Yep.
Now, the funny story. You know, I don't know how I feel about your boy right now these days. He's outside of the whole bullshit he was talking about, the players coming out of college and all that stuff, you know, whatever, do whatever you got to do to get a paycheck and say whatever, I don't care. But do you know when I see this nigga, he be trying to act like he don't want to, like, know me? So anyway, so you said it doesn't surprise you that Falk is acting like that?
No, it doesn't surprise me. I'm sure. I mean, you know, at NFL Network, pretty much all those networks, you know, they got to take a position, and then, you know, they ain't trying to ruffle no feathers. And I'm sure you speak the truth. So everybody don't want to hear the truth on mass media.
Yeah, but what's wrong with saying hi and giving somebody a hug that you actually used to be at Larry Flint slapping ass and tipping the pussy with? Like, we did that for a while, my nigga. You know it too, Jack. We was in there tipping the pussy on the regular.
Yeah,
throwing them back. Getting,
I ain't touching that one. I'm more of a bottoms up guy myself.
You know he like Larry Flint. Don't even front. We used to be at Larry Flint. He used to have me up in there all hours of the night, whining about all types of shit that he's pissed off about. I ain't even gonna get into none of that. I just feel like that was, it's so rude how he act like he don't know me. Like, he act like I won't say some shit, but I'm a keep it professional. I'm gonna let him get his check. You know what I'm saying? But it's all good. But when I see him, he really gives me like the wave, like you say hi to somebody that you really don't know who they are, but you're just being polite. That's what he gives me.
I say, you good, you married, you done moved on with your life too.
It's just rude. That's all I'm saying. It's just a little bit rude for him to act like that. And I think he slept with my sister too. Dog. Put him on my sister and everything. This is how he repay me. I'll see how it is. But anyways, so you were behind this nigga who was actually quite dope. I bet you were annoyed, but you were brought in to replace him. And, you know, he was in the era of the greatest show on turf, which was, you know, it was a great run by the Rams. So when you came in, the shit just, like, you had dope, like, you were hooping. You was balling, you know what I'm saying? And then when you came in, then it just started to take a slide. Like, what happened with the Rams after 2005?
I honestly think, you know, it was a power struggle in the front office. You know, I think Georgia, our owner, got sick, and then she soon passed away. And I think there was a rift in the power. We didn't know who was going to be the head. We didn't know who was going to make those decisions. And it's just bad timing, man. It was just real bad timing on my end.
Mm. So then that's when Mike March left, right?
Yes.
He left, and then who was that guy that came from did he come from?
The Giants.
Yeah, you guys had a new head coach.
No, we had Scott. We had Scott Linehan.
Linehan, yeah. So Linehan comes in, and You were the, at that point, you were the starting running back. They had Faze Marshall out, right, by then?
Right.
So you, right. Here you are. You're the starting running back. You had a great, you had a, your rookie year was decent. Not, you didn't have 1,000 rushing yards, but that next year, you was balling. You was hooping. 1,500, 13 touchdowns. You had 806 passing yards?
Yeah, 90 catches. Yeah.
Dog, 2,334 all-purpose yards from scrimmage. Are you serious?
Yeah. That year I got MVP votes, man. I think I got two.
Dog, so you hooping. Yeah. Y'all 8-8, though. How does it feel to be hooping at 8-8?
Whack. You know, whack. You feeling like, you know, I just watched this No Edition deal this week. So, you know.
You know that feeling.
Like, right. I was feeling like Ralph. I was like, damn.
I'm out here singing all the motherfucking songs, doing the backgrounds, the front grounds, the side grounds, and we not getting no checks.
We ain't getting no checks.
Damn.
We ain't getting no checks. Ain't nobody showing up. Ain't nobody looking for us. Yeah, man. It was tough.
Damn. So then after you guys went 8-8, like, you had a couple of, you know, really bad years in St. Louis. Was Linehan a good coach? Like, what do you think the issues were? Was it offensive issue, defensive issue? Like, they went from the greatest show on turf, Mike Martz leaves, and then it's just like, you guys didn't even have a winning record. Haven't had a winning record since he left.
Since my rookie year, I think, right? No, that's 8-8. So no, since Mike left. Man, I just really think the organization in itself, it was just, for real, it was a three-way, it was three people in power, and you know, I wasn't privy to these conversations, but from the locker room looking up, it just looked like everybody was trying to be that guy, trying to be that person in power, and it was just a rift. And then, you know, Mike was let go. Scott brought in. Scott was a great offensive mind. He still is. You know, he helped Ezekiel Elliott ball this year.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I think being a CEO is different than being a coordinator. And a lot of times the Rams kept trying to hire coordinators with no experience at being head coaches. You know, we fall in love with Steve Spagnuolo, the same thing. And it's a difference, man. Everybody can't make that transition from being a coordinator to a head coach.
And you think that's what made you guys pretty much bite the bullet? All those years of power struggling and not having the right people all on the same page, just a 12-year just slump.
Yeah, in 7 years, I had four head coaches and three interims. So, like, I had seven guys in 9 years.
So
there was never any.
Were you there with Fisher at all?
Yeah, I was there his first year.
People that I know said he's a cool guy, but just terrible as far as a leader or a coach and people, like, actually listening to him and doing something.
It was really, you know, if you did your job, he didn't bother nobody. And the one thing I did get from the Patriots is that, man, being uniform and buttoned up is not a bad thing. But I hadn't seen that because, mm-hmm. you know, Mike Smith was pretty lax, too, with the Falcons.
Mm-hmm.
So to finally get to the Patriots and see somebody buttoned down and just, like, run everything one way, it makes sense why the people are accountable and doing their job consistently. Mm.
Well, you talked about them having always hiring coordinators as head coaches, and it's just not everybody can't make that transition. Now the L.A. Rams have hired the youngest head coach to coach the youngest team in the NFL. No head coaching experience. What do you think that's going to be like in L.A. with him? Do you know him at all as a coach? Have you ever had any experience or anybody that knows him well enough to understand why the Rams will consider him 31 years old to run a team that just came to a new city, got a young quarterback, like a struggling city, you know, a struggling team? Why do you think that they did that?
I'm not sure. So, like, no, I don't have any, I don't know the coach at all. I don't know anybody that plays for the coach, at least I don't think I do. And mm-hmm. So I don't know much about him. But I would say it would have to be real tough for a coach at that age trying to control a whole bunch of millionaires.
Right.
You know, and you guys are in L.A. where paparazzi and all the lights are on at all times. And for him to try to learn on the job on the fly, it's going to be tough. And then you bring in a defensive coordinator that's almost twice as senior, right? So
I said this is a setup. I said, wait, he set this whole thing up. He going to let this dude just drown and then be like, I'll be the interim head coach and take his job. That's a smart move to me.
I hope not, man. I mean, you know, I love all the teams I played for, but I mean, I'm going to always be identified as a Ram. You know, I'm the all-time lead rusher for the Rams. So
yeah,
I hope not. For the sake that I could, I want to be able to wear some Ram stuff with pride one day, you know?
Yeah, speaking of pride, when they had the first home game in L.A., all my friends, family, bunch of my people I know, they went. They were still, you know, I'm a Rams fan, right? Like, it was so dope that the Rams went to St. Louis because that's where my family is. And I was from, you know, living in L.A. So I've always been a Rams fan. I just can't never support because my husband is in the NFL. But I asked all my friends, like, what was it like the first game back in L.A.? I was all excited. They was like, bullshit. And I'm like, what happened? Did you go? Did you go? No?
Nah, I'm never. Nah.
Okay, so I would have went.
I see on Instagram you and Brett went to a Falcons game. I give it to him, man, because I ain't there yet. I can't do it.
You know what's, you know, Brent doesn't, that was only his second game ever professional game ever in his life ever. Last year he went to a playoff game with me too. I begged him and he went, and this year he went with me. So he's just going along with me, letting me, you know, live out my dreams. I'm a fan of so many players in the league. So if he's not playing and one of my friends, someone I call family, is playing, and then Julio Jones invited me to the game. So that's like a brother. That's like my family. So I was like, you know, do you want to go? And, you know, it's this old team. And I was like, can I wear your jersey? You know, and he was just like, fuck it. Let's go. You know, it was just, you know, he just was like, all right, whatever. He didn't know how he was going to feel about it. But as soon as he got out of the car, oh, my God, the fans started swarming him. It was crazy. He was just like, oh, my God. Like, they were just like, holy shit. Like, he was still Brent Grimes. Like, he's still that cool nigga. So it was kind of, it was annoying to me because I'm trying to hurry up and get to my seats, but he had to stop and take a whole bunch of pictures and everything. So it was a good feeling. You know, I don't think it would have been the same if we went to the Dolphins game, you know? So it was a good feeling for him, you know, but getting back to this damn Rams game, they had all the Rams gear 50% off all over the stadium. They had all St. Louis Rams gear. Why are you selling St. Louis Rams gear in L.A.?
We got off this inventory.
That's just disrespectful. That is disrespectful, okay? That is disrespectful. They trying to get rid of all the Rams gear. They got all this St. Louis stuff up everywhere. And then to top it off, the players that came, that you have all the ex-players, retired players come. How about they were all St. Louis Rams players? Welcoming them to the game.
You trying to erase my history?
I'm just saying, it's L.A. There's plenty of living L.A. Rams players that they should have went and got. No, but you got to understand how the fans feel. It's a lot of L.A. Rams fans that don't give a fuck about what was going on in St. Louis. This is their team back in L.A.
To be fair, let's educate the listener.
Go ahead.
The Rams started in Cleveland.
Yes, they did. And I can guarantee you them Cleveland Rams fans don't give a fuck that the Rams in L.A. right now either. They ain't buying no L.A. Rams shit. You know what I'm saying? They don't want it. You have to think about how the fans feel. It's like these people have been waiting for this team to come back here for this long. And their opening game is nothing but is predominantly St. Louis Rams gear with St. Louis players. I think they would have done better having more L.A. stuff and having L.A. Rams players at the opening day, like for them to come back. That was just rude. And that just makes me feel like that's why the whole season was fucked off from the beginning. They just started it off wrong.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, man, it sucks because we all disenfranchised. You know, the L.A. players used to come to St. Louis, and they didn't feel welcome. They didn't feel welcome, and I'm sure it might be the same feeling for us as the St. Louis part of the history as we go back to L.A. So, I mean, it just all in all, it's just a messed up situation.
Yeah, but I just hope that they, this year coming up, that they really get it all the way together and just make it an L.A. thing. I don't know who's in charge of all that, but they need to listen to the fans. Like, if you want to sell gear, you got to sell it to the people buying it, and the people buying it are in L.A. You can go online and get St. Louis Rams gear. You really can. Don't do it in the stadium opening day. Like, come on. Don't dump off all your stuff. I just thought it was rude, man. I thought it was rude.
Well, they can't come to St. Louis no more. I bet you that. But,
that's true. They'll probably burn it, probably use it for firewood. Oh my God. So you had a really dope career. I'm saying had. Are you done? Is it official? Are you still thinking about coming back? Like, what's the situation?
No, it's not official, but no, I haven't thought about it. You know, I guess I probably do need to make a decision one way or another and make it official or not. But, you know, I always admired Jay-Z as a businessman. I just kind of wanted to fade to black anyways. But trying to fade to black still leaves uncertainty and a lot of questions. So.
Yeah, that's true. So if you are done, I mean, I think you had a really dope career. 8 seasons in a row, 1,000 yards. That's pretty incredible. Would you say?
Yeah, only four other people have done it.
Yeah,
so, it's a nice short list, man. Yeah.
You're the Rams' leading rusher, like you said before. You're in the 10,000 rushing yard club. Did you know that?
Yeah,
dude. You're the only Ram to record 150 rushing yards and 100 receiving yards in the same game.
Yeah, they were sleeping on the kid, weren't they?
Long live St. Louis Rams to you, huh? That's why you over there talking this shit. You damn right sell the Rams gear. You had a dope career, man. So if you were...
We got to keep these coins coming in.
We got to keep these coins. I do feel you. Your NFL records, most consecutive season with 4-plus rushing touchdowns. Most consecutive season with 40-plus yards run, 11. Most rushing attempts by a player without 60 yards running, 2,764. And most consecutive touchdowns without a fumble.
Yeah.
Wow. What else can you do? Why would you come back? Just to check?
No, man. And the thing about this damn Super Bowl 51 is killing me.
Yeah, you were supposed to be there. This was supposed to be the one.
That was it. But, you know, the game has been good, but I'm happy. I'm content. I'm very happy. I'm able to enjoy life, enjoy the family. And like I said, you know, these my kids and, you know, my kids and my family, man, they all need somebody that I've achieved the greatness and now I could be their coach. I could talk to them and coach them through life.
Dope. So life after football. I know you're an artist, but tell my listeners about Steven Jackson's life after football.
Yeah, I mean, it's very complex. I'm big into photography. I sell art online. I've had an art show in LA in West Hollywood, mm-hmm. you know, and I love photography. I've been to 40 countries so far in my life, been to 6 of the 7 continents. And you know, I enjoy, you know, trying new things, meeting new people and just chopping it up and exchanging positive energies. And then, you know, far as the business side of things, man, I'm really big into real estate. You know, I'm trying to do this thing the right way. And not be a slumlord, but be a you know,
make money, but be a good businessman.
Yeah, you know, it's all twofold. You know, like I said, I was going to school for architecture originally, and the dopest thing to me is being able to design something, to have somebody living a home that you design, and they have their own family memories and childhood memories and something that I had an impression on. So, you know, I really have a great respect and I love it, the infatuation with architecture and design. So I'm that guy. I watch HGTV probably more than ESPN.
You're like Brent's mom. She watches all those shows. So you talking about the you get a rush from people building memories in a home you built. So you're not talking about like 4-family flat type of real estate, like building a whole bunch of apartments and stuff. You're talking about like actual homes, like estates type of real estate.
Well,
or
I mean, I have a little bit of all, I have a little bit of everything in my portfolio. You know, I own apartment buildings. I have some single family homes. You know, I've been able to build a home in Vegas that I live in and reside in from scratch. So, you know, I've done it all, and I'm going to continue to do it all as I get better with it. But, you know, trying to learn, like we were talking about that money thing, man. I've got to learn how to do it, you know, the business way and to round up some investors and do it, you know, do it in a way to help everybody make money. And not just use my money.
Speaking of money, because I had skipped this question earlier, so I got to go back to it. You held out in 2008. I would love, because people don't always want to keep it real when they held out and say what it really was. They always try to be politically correct. Could you just please don't do that right now and tell me why you held out, the reasons, and like just keep it real with my listeners, because that's why they listen. They want the truth.
Well, I'm still trying to get in the ring of honor, so I keep it real as possible.
Okay. I accept that. Don't fuck up no checks, like I told you. Don't.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
This is on the strength of love. But I held out because, you know, I was getting ready to go into that next season. Only going to make $500,000. And, you know, some of the things you rattled off already, I was, you know, it was only me and LaDainian Tomlinson performing at a high level at that time. Mm-hmm. And Larry Johnson, I think about it, Larry Johnson. And then, you know, it was the three of us, but they were making bread. I wasn't making bread yet. I was making $500,000. And, you know, again, it goes back to that fear of, you know, I get hurt, man. I don't know if I'm ever going to get a chance to get that bite of the apple. And you telling me, you know, you trying to tell me, just come in. We're going to take care of you. We're going to pay you. I'm like, well.
You got to believe in that.
If that's the case, let's just get it done right now. Don't dangle a carrot over my head.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, rest in peace, Eugene Parker, you know, my agent. He told me, he was like, if you hold out, you got to be ready to be steadfast. So I said, Miss, you know, I called him Mr. Parker. I'm like, Mr. Parker, the one thing about me is I'm stubborn. I stick to my guns. Mm-hmm. So if I'm sitting out, I ain't moving until you tell me go. And, you know, that's the approach I took.
Damn.
And 28 days later, we didn't make one statement. We just sat back, you know, like, fruit is wrong. You just sat back.
Swag. Because the ball was in your court. You know, you at some point, you know, I feel sorry for a lot of players. I was just talking to some guys this weekend. We had had a playoff party and I had a bunch of players over here and we was all just chilling and he was giving me examples of situations where some of his friends, he's young, he had just got paid and everything, but he was telling me the older guys were telling him about how they didn't go and hold out and get their money because they believed what the team was saying to them and they ended up getting screwed. Like there's so many stories where they will say, oh yeah, hold out, you know, don't hold out, we're going to pay you the next year, and either you get injured or somehow, some way, they find a way to say you weren't as productive. They might hold you out so your stats are lower so that even if you were to go out into the open market, other teams won't give you the money either. So then you're almost like forced to stay there. And so he was talking to me about that, and he was just like, man, I'm so thankful for the guys that came before me that are teaching me the business. And you'd be surprised at how many players are not teaching the young guys the business. Like, why don't you think that's happening?
Yeah. I get people calling me all the time, to be honest with you. You know,
I get calls too, and I'm not even a player, but they know that I know the shit.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, one it has to go back again. It goes back to young men being willing to go humble themselves and go ask for advice. You know, many of these young alphas, they're the breadwinners of their family, and they don't feel the need to go and ask somebody for help, and that's unfortunate because they should. Players union again, I think they should be stronger in that area as well. But you know, when you fight it for money, you gotta understand, you gotta be willing to wear whatever jacket you're gonna put on, because if you make a defiant statement like that, you're gonna become considered cancerous, you're gonna be considered overpaid, you're gonna be considered selfish, you're gonna have other players talking about we all here struggling, why he ain't here. Bump that, man, because it's all about your family at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Played with a lot of great players. I played with some people that have made a lot of more money than I have, and ain't nobody paying these bills over here. So I got to take care of my Jackson family. So if that's the choice and that's the decision that the team makes you, and you got, they're going to call you a bluff, you got to make sure, though, that you do what I did. You got to stick to your guns. You can't be folded, because once you fold, one, you're weak, and two, the coach will look at you sideways because you're cancerous.
Mm-hmm. Already. You're already a cancer, and now you're a weak cancer because you didn't even stand your ground.
Right.
I feel you, man. Damn, I'm so glad I asked you that, because I just like talking to you, man. I miss talking to you. We used to talk way more before I got married and had a family and all this other important stuff. And I'm over here doing
a good job too with your son. I applaud you. You're doing a great job with your son.
Thank you. You know, people say I'm a bad mother because I cuss, and I'd be like, I think that's why I'm a good mother, actually, because I'm being myself. And I teach my son that cuss words can get you in trouble in today's society, especially if you're not a grown-up, you know? I said, but when you're an adult and you use a certain type of language, then you're able to take care of yourself or back yourself up. I said, I'm an adult, so I'm able to back up myself and take care of myself and make sure my words don't affect my livelihood or my family, you know? But you're a kid. You can't do that yet. And he says, I get it.
You know, yeah. I mean, to each his own, you know?
To each his own.
My kids. Yeah, I teach my kids a little different, but, you know, when you do choose to use profanity, you use it no matter what, people know you're serious. You know,
I don't just walk around my house saying, fuck, shit, bitch. Yeah. Like, no. But my son knows that I do use profanity, and it's generally being, you know, disrespectfully. But, you know, sometimes that's just how I express myself. It's not who I am as a person.
I got to ask you a question, though.
Go ahead.
I got to ask you a question.
You can ask me anything. Go.
Why do you reply to the people that don't matter on social media?
Oh, you have to. Otherwise, they won't keep talking to you. I need that motivation. Do you know these people motivate me? Hating on me and talking shit. Like, they actually help me work on, they help me work on my skills, because I am the leader of the Brent Grimes fan base. So whenever they come at me, I have to kill them with the facts so that my people that also believe in me have these facts as well to destroy these other haters that are coming in their mentions. It's like a family. You know what I'm saying? I'm the brain of the family. So whenever I shit on them about the facts, then the people that that respect me and like my husband, whenever somebody comes at them talking shit, they can quote me, because I ain't gonna tell them a lie. You ain't gotta look this up, what I'm saying. This is what it is. So it's a little bit of fun. I cannot lie to you and tell you I do not have fun doing it too. I'm not gonna lie about that. I enjoy making people delete their Twitter and their Instagram because they look so stupid. And I you know, the only time I really get really, really nasty with them is if they get nasty with me. Some people get very nasty. They call me out of my name. They call me a nigger. They tell me they hope my something happens to my son or my husband, and all kind of stuff happens, you know, and I just be like, oh, okay. Sometimes I ignore, but I remember their names. I remember their profile pictures, and they just keep coming and keep coming. And sometimes you see the explosion of like episode number 6 with this person. Well, I've already walked away and told them, stop commenting to me. Shut up. Right. Stay out of my mentions. If you don't like what I post, don't follow me. Like, it's been those and those and those and those. And then I got to check them. So everybody thinks it's just on a one-time thing, but this person has been harassing me for a few months now, you know?
I get it.
So I just, you know, I just roll up one, sit on my couch and get on my phone and just destroy people. Like, I give them a good, you know, a good show, and then I'll go on about my wealthy little life. I don't have a job, Jack. My job, I'm doing my job right now talking to you. This is my job.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I'll be having time sometimes, you know? I have time to cuss y'all the fuck out sometimes. I do. And I happen to enjoy it. And the funniest part is people always be like, I'm so sure Brent is so ashamed of you. Brent be right there reading everything I'm writing on the floor, dying laughing.
Yeah, I love how people try to project their life on you and your husband.
Like, they think we're over here so miserable. Like, he hates my guts. Like, what, nigga? We spend every single day together. Like, do you know how in love you got to be to do that?
Yeah.
Like, we do. We get up in the morning. We work out together. We go eat together. We go shopping. Well, if I go run my errands, Britt's with me. Like, we are best friends. We love each other's company. Like, that's why it looks weird to people. We actually like each other. No, we don't always get along, but this nigga is my nigga. So nothing. Oh, look at Aiden. He didn't walk in here talking about mention him too. Before I had you on, I was telling, you know, my intro, I was telling him that Aiden was going to be getting home from school in the middle of us recording, and I knew he was going to interrupt. So here I am, you know what I'm saying, talking about Brent. He comes peeking around the corner, just pointing to himself like, me, bring me up too. Say something about me. They're in competition for me, and I love it. I love it. You got a daughter now, so your daughter, it's going to happen. How old is she, first of all? How old is the baby?
She is 5 months.
Oh, my God. You got a baby, baby.
You got a baby, baby.
You got a pet rock.
I got a 10-year-old, a 7-year-old, and a baby.
Yeah, I know the 10 and the 7. I've met both of them and all that, but you got a little baby. When is Steven Jackson getting married? When are you going to make somebody an honest woman and get out these streets?
I would love to get married, you know? I think it's soon. I think it's sooner than later. I actually think about it now. You couldn't get me to think about it 2 years ago.
2 years ago, damn. So why are you thinking about it now? Is it just you ready to just chill and everything? You feel like you got the time? Like, what is it?
I think, to be honest with you, I think, it allows you to know that when you come home, you got somebody to have your back and your best interest. And you ain't got to question everybody around you.
Mm-hmm. A lot of men always talk about how, no, it's better to have a couple of girls because, you know, this one does this and this one does that. And I'm like, but none of them really want just you. Like, people don't believe it. But whenever you dangling 3 and 4 girls around, trust me, they dangling another dick around when you ain't around too. So it is kind of cool to, even if you don't get married, I know a lot of people that don't believe in marriage, and I actually don't believe in marriage either now that I'm married, but it's just business. It's government. I don't like motherfuckers in my business telling me, you know what I'm saying, what I can and can't do, but it's so dope to have somebody that got you, that's going to be home, that's going to have a routine for you, like especially if you're the kind of man that might want a meal every day. You know what I'm saying? A woman to know what kind of foods you like how to bring uplift your spirits or, you know, anything. And so just companionship is really dope. And you are an incredible man. And I feel like one woman just deserves all of this. All this that I just listened to, one woman deserves you. I hope you find her too.
Yeah. I got my scope on it.
Got your scope out. You know, let me know if you have any, if you need any help, because I got a couple friends.
You don't get the
help. No, I said I got a couple friends that are single. I don't know what you're looking for. We can talk about that off the air, but I do have a couple really, really good women that are single.
Well, I appreciate it, but I'm good.
You good? Okay.
I'm good.
That means that means somebody's there right now. I read you.
Yeah.
It's all good, but we're going to get out of here, man. But before we get out of here, I need your Super Bowl predictions now. You play for both teams.
Yeah.
And one, you know what I'm saying? You can't be biased because you were both organizations. I already know you're a little bit biased about the Patriots based on you saying that they button it up. You know what I'm saying? So you respect that. But forget all that for a second, and you're Steven Jackson, who that didn't play for either team. Who's winning the Super Bowl and why?
Oh, that's a tough number one offense versus number one defense. Dan Quinn is familiar. Look, I'm gonna get technical with you.
Go ahead, get technical now.
He's familiar with the Patriots, you know, with the Super Bowl in Seattle. I think it's going to be truly a good chess match. I think Julio, depends on how his toe's feeling. He's going to be explosive anyways, but it's going to be minimized by it. You know, we don't know. Tom's going to show up. Matt Ryan's having an unbelievable year.
Unbelievable. I'm going to ask you your MVP predictions as well.
We both witnessed it up close and personal. You know what I'm saying? When you guys were there, then I came.
Yeah.
And he's grown leap and bound.
I'm talking about just, he always had it. But he took that big old leap this year. He took it.
Yeah.
Man.
Special teams. I think that's probably going to be the difference maker. Who don't turn the ball over, who has a good special teams performance. And, you know, I hate to say it because I like both teams. I like a lot of players on both teams. I'm friends with a lot of people. But I think this is the Falcons' year.
Oh, that's who I picked, too.
Yeah. I think they're going to close the dam in a good fashion, which they did. I think this is a year Arthur Blank's going to walk into that new stadium where he's going to have that
swagger. That swagger into the new stadium. I picked the Falcons. Obviously, Matt Ryan is playing incredible. I've watched him from the ground. I'm talking about the ground. I've been watching him from the ground up. And last year when they was talking about, you know, getting rid of him and benching him, even this year in the preseason, I was like, what the hell is people thinking in Atlanta? Matt Ryan is that man. And why would you even question him? He's been in the playoffs so many times. He just needed everything to go right. He needed a defense to go right. And this year, the defense wasn't as great in the beginning, but they've slowly gotten better and better at the perfect time. And I never bet against Tom Brady. You know who else I never bet against? Aaron Rodgers. And I bet against his ass last week against the Falcons. I picked the Falcons to go to the Super Bowl week 16. And people thought I was crazy. And I was like, listen, they're going to the Super Bowl. What about Aaron Rodgers? What about this? I said, this is their year. It's their year. And then when they came up against Aaron Rodgers, I said, it's the Falcons. So I never bet against Tom Brady. I have to bet against him. It ain't nothing wrong with the Patriots. Ain't nothing wrong with them. It's just everything's right with Atlanta.
Yeah, they're definitely riding the wave, man. They're surfing this wave right now, and I think it's finally going to be the year. Finally think they're going to break the curse in Atlanta.
Man.
I mean, hell, it happened in Cleveland last year. It happened in Chicago, so you might as well keep it going, you know?
Yeah, curses are just being broken this year, and
broke. It's crazy. I mean, I wish I knew this beginning of 2016, being a kid from Vegas.
You'd have hung on for one more. Like, hey, let me get on real quick. Damn, we could have been there too. You know, they was in the bidding war for Brent this offseason.
Yeah.
But you know, like you said, we had to go get the check.
You had to get the check.
There's no regrets on this side. I promise you, there's not a single regret over here. But it would have been nice for him to be in the Super Bowl with, you know, there's so many, like you said, he has so many friends on that team, you know, and that's why we went to the game too. We're just showing love to the people that we were, you know, at one point grinding with and seeing them flourish. It's like, you want to go show love to the people that you went to war with, you know?
Yeah.
Man, we both got the Falcons. I hope we're right. But if we're wrong, it's kind of like, so what? Because everybody going to pick the Patriots, I believe. I don't even think anybody's going to pick the Falcons. They haven't picked the Falcons all season. Nobody's picked the Falcons to win. I just been watching, like, no respect, no respect, no respect. You know, and it's like, now the MVP. Who do you give the MVP to? Because every year I truly believe Tom Brady could win it. Every year.
Yeah.
But
no question.
This year, look at Matt Ryan. Like, how do you choose between that? How do you choose between a guy who's going to go down in history as arguably the greatest quarterback of all time versus a guy who is having that motherfucking year? Like, how?
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see who they do give it to and how and what law and like the voting turnout, like
who voted for who
votes, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. It'd be real interesting. I think Matt is very deserving. I'm happy for him. I'm happy for Julio. I think he's probably one of the rare talents that who actively plays that I'm turning. If he's on TV, I'm watching.
Man, know? Yes. I feel so bad. I'd be texting him like every 2 days, like, Julio, how's the toe? You good? How you feel? And he'd be like, I'm straight, sis. I'd be like, so is it like an 80? Is it a 90? Like, what's, I'm just so nosy and so nervous at the same time because I want him to do so well. But I don't, you know, I need to just back off, huh? Just back off.
Yeah, you got to know. Yeah. You don't want to talk about that.
We back off of it. No, because we keep in touch all season. This is a normal thing. Yeah. We talk every other week. I check in with him. He check in. Like, it's so weird how close we are. But we just always check in. So I'm always worried about him and checking on him and stuff. And now it's like the big game. So I'm a back off. No more calls. I'm going to call him Friday, next Friday. I'm going to send, that's the last, one more, and it's going to be Friday, and that's it.
That's it.
Just a good luck. We believe in you. We go. And then we go just let him do what he got to do. That's the plan. Oh my God. But thank you so much for joining me. This was a really, really good convo. I hope you enjoyed it too.
I did. I'm finally happy that I got a chance to hop on the show. So
yes.
I appreciate it.
There's so many people that I be wanting to ask people, but then I'm all, you know how I feel. Like, a lot of people don't like me. They don't like that I don't play no shit. I tell the truth and all that, so people get scared about messing up their reputations with other people coming on my show. So I appreciate you not acting like Marshall Faulk.
Well, you know, Steve Jackson raised the real one over here. So
yes, they did. And tell your—I don't even know if your parents remember me, but tell them I said hi because I definitely remember them.
I sure will. I appreciate it.
All right, you take care. Okay, peace. That was Steven Jackson, running back for the Rams, Falcons, and Patriots. One of my really, really good, long, long, long time friends. Met him when he was a rookie. He was green. And now look at him. Now he's retired. He's an artist. He's got real estate. He's got records, doing a whole bunch of big things. I'm so proud of him and everything that he's accomplished. I was really more proud. Forget the records and the money and all that stuff. I'm more proud of the fact that he had his head on straight, even young, and thinking about which college to go to as far as getting out fast instead of like, oh, this is a bigger school. You know what I'm saying? I want to go here and get out and go get paid. Like, you can't hate on people that came from nothing for trying to start something with their family. I always get so pissed off when I see people talking about, oh, you should go, college players shouldn't get paid nothing. Like, some of these people came from nothing. They're not eating nothing. And these schools are making millions and billions of dollars off of them. So I commend all the college players that are just getting in to go get their check. Forget, you can always go, you can be 90, you can be 80 and go get a degree. You can. You can go play in the NFL and be a bust and still go back to college. You can always do it. You can take that money that you made in the NFL and fund your college education. So do it in whatever order is best for you. You don't have to listen to what nobody else say. This is your life and your legacy and the things that you're going to be doing. Because at the end of the day, just like Jack said, ain't none of you niggas gonna pay these bills but me. Peace.
get to